Open your Bibles today, please, to the book of John, chapter 21. The book of John, chapter 21. I'm preaching on this subject today. When the Savior questions our love. When the Savior questions our love. If you found your place in John 21, please stand in honor and reverence to the reading of God's Word. We'll start our reading in verse 15. The Bible says, "So when they had dined, Jesus saith to Simon Peter, Simon, son of Jonah, lovest thou me more than these? He saith unto him, Yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. He saith unto him, Feed my lambs. He saith to him again the second time, Simon, son of Jonah, lovest thou me? He saith unto him, Yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. He saith unto him, Feed my sheep. He saith unto him the third time." I told my Sunday school class this morning, if you're ever talking to someone, or maybe you're being talked to and somebody asks you a question, and they ask you the first question, you give the answer. They ask you the second time, you give the answer, you're a little frustrated. They ask you a third time, you think, aren't you listening? Notice the text. He saith unto him, verse 17, the third time, Simon, son of Jonah, lovest thou me? Peter was grieved because he said unto him the third time, lovest thou me? And he said unto him, Lord, thou knowest all things. Thou knowest that I love thee. Jesus saith unto him, feed my sheep. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, we thank you for who you are. I thank you, God, that you're a God that does not change. And I thank you, Father, that as I've said over and over and over in my life and in our church, and you're a God of a second chance. We praise you for that. I praise you for that today. And I pray, Heavenly Father, that what I'm about to talk to my people will, that you as a Holy Spirit will use to bring us close together. And Father, I've talked to you a lot this week. And God, I love you. But I know often, Lord, I don't love you like I should. So Father, I pray that you'll help me. And I pray, Lord Jesus, that what the devil often means for evil, you can mean for good. And that you'll strengthen us. And you'll strengthen our friendships and our relationships. And Lord Jesus, I just pray that today would be a great day. For it's in Jesus' name I pray, and amen. Thank you. You may be seated. This text really intrigues my heart, and the reason it does is because of the fact that Peter, of all people in Scripture, is being asked by Jesus if he loves him. I find that fascinating, and the reason I find that fascinating is because when you study the New Testament, you'll find that Peter is, for lack of a better phrase, often looked at, and it's illustrated, as the inner circle of Jesus' disciples. You often find that when Jesus is, you know, wherever Jesus is, he often has three of his disciples, three of his apostles with him, Peter, James, and John. They're the inner circle. I also find this, it's intriguing to me, because Peter's love for Jesus is being questioned, and yet Peter was one that was a bold declarer of the faith. He was somebody that was a passionate witness for Jesus. He had a temper. We know that Peter had a temper. As I was talking to Sunday school class this morning, I said, "What was when Peter? Remember when Jesus was in the garden, and he was being arrested, and Peter took out his sword and he cut the dude's ear off." And I told the class this morning, I really seriously doubt he was aiming for the guy's ear. I think he was trying to lob his head off. And so he had a temper. And yet, when you come to this text, Jesus three times asked Peter, "Do you love me?" Now we know, as far as in the original language, we know in the English language, he used the word love. "Lovest thou me, lovest thou me, lovest thou me." We know in the original language, it really brings out some different aspects of the word love. He basically gets to the point where, like, "Peter, do you even like me?" It's kind of the attitude. What was it? What was it that caused Jesus to question? What was it that caused Jesus to question his love for him? I think we'll see what it is. If you will, turn back to another gospel. Turn back to the book of Matthew, chapter 26. In Matthew chapter 26, you can hold your place in John, because we'll probably come back there in just a moment. Setting up this text, of course, the Lord Jesus had already told Peter that, Peter, the Lord is getting ready to die on the cross of Calvary. We understand this in the earlier chapters of Matthew. And we know that Jesus is getting ready to die on the cross. And before he does so, he tells Peter that Satan had desire to have him, that he would sift him as wheat. And Jesus says, "But Peter, I've prayed for you." And, of course, we know that Peter was, that didn't set too well with Peter, because Peter was like, "Lord, whoa, 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 I'll never do that. Jesus, I will never deny you. These other guys might, but God, I'll go with you to death. I'll go to prison. Lord, I'll never deny you." And what we see in this is Peter, he overestimated his strength. He overestimated his faith. He overestimated his love for Christ. He thought that perhaps his love for Jesus would then, and his loyalty to Jesus, would cause him to never ever do something he'd be ashamed of. But as we look in this text, the Lord Jesus now has been falsely accused. Peter's following afar off. He's watching and witnessing the things that are unfolding that would lead to the crucifixion of Christ. In verse 69 of the book of Matthew, of chapter 26, we're given a little, perhaps, insight as to what would cause Jesus to question Peter's love for him. In verse 69 of Matthew 26, "Now Peter sat without in the palace, and a damsel came unto him, saying, Thou also was with Jesus of Galilee." Now again, you know the context. Peter is outside, and they're getting ready to crucify Jesus, and they've falsely accused him, and it's a mock trial, and all this kind of stuff is unfolding. And Peter is following afar off, and all of a sudden, this little girl says, "Oh, wait a minute, you're one of these Jesus followers. You know, thou also wast with Jesus of Galilee, verse 70, but he denied before them all, saying, I know not what thou sayest. He goes on, verse 71. And when he was gone out into the porch, another maid saw him and said unto him that were there, this fellow was also with Jesus of Nazareth. And again, he denied with an oath, I do not know the man. And after a while came unto him they that stood by and said to Peter, surely thou also art one of them, for thy speech, look at that, thy speech betrayeth thee. Then began he to curse and to swear, saying, I know not the man. And immediately the cock, the rooster, crew. And Peter remembered the words of Jesus, which said unto him, before the cock crow, thou shalt deny me thrice. And he went out and wept bitterly. Turn back to our text in John 21, and I'm going to say a few comments, and we'll give an invitation here in just a moment. But when Jesus questions our love, what was it? What was it that caused Jesus to question Peter's love for Christ? We've just read in Matthew's account of the fact that Peter, on three occasions, says he doesn't know Jesus. You see, it was his language. It was his words that he used. His words said something that caused people to question. And his words were saying something that was causing Jesus to question his love for him. Last Sunday, I, as your pastor, done something I'm very ashamed of. From this pulpit, I've done something that I said I would never do. I embarrassed our deacons. I embarrassed our church. I embarrassed my family. I should have never done that. I'm sorry. It was my speech that caused many the question. But I promise you, it was a knee-jerk reaction based on misunderstanding. And I allowed my leadership, to be dictated by my emotions. And for that, I'm sorry. I ask for forgiveness. God knows my heart. I haven't slept much this week. My heart is broken. For those of you who may be visiting, perhaps this is your first service at Emmanuel. Aren't you glad you come? No, I hope you understand that Emmanuel Missionary Baptist Church is a hospital for hurting people. We did have our deacons meeting, and we talked. We talked about a lot of things. These are good men. I thank God for these men. I thank God for all three of them. I love them with all my heart. But last Sunday, you would have not known that because of what I said. It's my prayer that God will use this situation as only he can, but that the Lord will use it to bring us closer together. In the text of what we're reading, the Lord Jesus Christ asked Peter, "Do you love me?" Now, what's amazing to me about that is Peter finally got to the point where he just acknowledged, he basically confessed what Jesus already knew. The third time Jesus asked Peter, "Peter, do you love me?" Look what Peter's response is. Verse 17 of John 21. He saith unto him the third time, "Simon, son of Jonah, lovest thou me?" Peter was grieved because he said unto him the third time, "Lovest thou me?" It bothered Peter. Why did it bother Peter? I think it bothered Peter because he understood that Jesus Christ knows. We can't fool Jesus. You know that, right? We can sometimes fool ourselves. We can sometimes fool others. But we cannot fool Christ. Jesus speaks into this and he says, "Simon, son of Jonah, lovest thou me?" Peter finally responds, "Lord, you know all things." And ladies and gentlemen, what Peter confesses in this text is really a powerful statement. It's a powerful application as far as in the text of this passage, because what Peter is telling Jesus is this. And I said to my Sunday school class, and I think I'll say it in this. When Jesus says, "Peter, do you love me?" Peter's response, I think Peter, without distorting the text, I think Peter could have responded maybe something like this. "Lord, I love you, but I don't love you like I should. And Lord, you know that." And yet, even in this passage of Scripture, we see God's grace manifested one more time. I'm thankful today to know that we serve a God that even when we blow it, and I did that last week, there's no ways around it. I did that. I am hurt that I did that. It hurts me that I did that. I love y'all. I mean that. I love this church. I'm humbled by what God has done here. My granddaddy would have been ashamed of me, because it was my granddaddy before I was ever even called a preacher, said never use the pulpit as a whipping post. And that's what I did. And I'm ashamed of that. I've asked God to forgive me of that. I'm asking you to forgive me of that. And by God's grace, and I'll say it like that, I'll never do that again. By God's grace. You deserve better than that. So Jesus says, look at God's grace in this, because you're going to see in the text that he's a God of a second chance. Peter literally, when the Bible says he cursed, it literally, what it indicated in that text that we just read in Matthew, it literally was saying that Peter was calling curses down on them. I mean, that's how bad, that's how mad he got. You do know that often our mouths tell on us. You know that, right? It's our speech often that tells on us. It's our speech often that, you know, that what people hear that absolutely sometimes goes against with what we say we are and who we say we are and all that. And that's what happened to Peter. Peter finally confesses it. Peter finally says, "Lord, you know all things. God, you know." And yes, he does. The message today, and I say you've heard my heart, the message also would be, where are you at today? Because I'll be honest, my love for Christ came in the question. Because people saw something that they've never seen before. They've never seen a preacher do that. And it came in the question, and it was right to come in the question. You had a right to feel the way you felt. You had a right to question what you questioned. And you had a right to have questions. So Peter then says, Lord, you know all things. And Jesus saith unto him, the end of verse 17, feed my sheep. But notice God's grace in verse 18. Now, I don't know about you, but if I were Peter, now we know contextually what has happened in the chapter. Contextually, Peter has gone fishing. He says to his buddies, I go fishing. His buddies say, we go with you. They're not just his buddies. We know John, the beloved, is there. So it's other apostles, at least one we know. Others are with him. So Peter, because he has influence, right? Peter has influence. He says, I'm going fishing. So he goes. He takes his buddies with him. They're fishing. They're not catching anything. A man's standing on the shore, and he says, hey, you catching anything? If there's one thing that would have bothered you as a fisherman is when somebody on the shore is telling you how to fish, that would have bothered you. So finally he says, hey, cast your net on the other side. They cast their net on the other side. They catch such a huge amount of fish. They had to call for their buddy that has a smaller ship to come over and help them get the catch in. Well, John the apostle looks up and says, whoa. That isn't just anybody. It's the Lord. And literally, the Bible tells us in the early verses, Peter takes his fisherman's coat, he clothes himself, he goes, he jumps out of the boat and heads to Jesus. They get to shore. Jesus says, come and dine. There's some coals there. Jesus is preparing the fish for him, preparing him a meal. Come and dine. It's the third time the resurrected Lord has appeared to his disciples. And then all of a sudden, you can hear a pin drop because Peter knows. He understands what has transpired. He knows that he has messed up big time. He knows that he's cursed. I feel like one of these big time preachers now. He's one of these things. He knows that he's made horrible mistakes. He knows that he's even cursed, that he didn't even know Jesus. And Jesus now is preparing him a meal. Peter said, hey, I go fishing. The only problem with that was this. Jesus had called him away from his fishing nets. And Jesus said, come after me. Remember this? He said, follow me and I will make you to become fishers of men. You're going to go from fishing for fish, and now we're going to fish for men, the souls of men. And Peter followed Jesus. He forsook his nets and followed Jesus. But now, because no doubt of the guilt of the mistakes that he's made and the things that he said, and he found himself saying things that he never dreamed he would say, the rooster crows. He remembers the words of the Lord. He goes out. He weeps bitterly. You see, every now and then, God will bring roosters in your life. I'm telling you, he does. That's happened to me this week. That's happened to me this week. Friends that I love dearly, who's speaking to my life. Andy Darty called me. My little buddy. The biggest man, the biggest human being I know. Andy Darty called me this week. He said, Tracy, you're wrong. He said, what you did was wrong. I said, you're right. You see, I'm grateful to God for friends that speak truth into your life. Don't have friends that when you mess up, don't have friends that come alongside and just say, no, have friends that speak truth. Have friends that speak truth. And that's what he did. So often God has roosters. Andy was a rooster this week. There are others that God used. There are other situations that God used. So God really got a hold of Peter. He used the rooster to crow and... And Peter repented. He goes out and he wept bitterly. And now, in the end of the text, and we're given an invitation after we say just a few comments here. Is it fair to say that Peter feels... Is it fair to say that he feels bad? Is it fair to say that he feels like he's blown it? Is it fair to say, you know, I think the reason he went fishing is because he thought, man, I'll never, ever be used of God again. But look what Jesus says in verse 18. Verily I say unto you, unto thee, when thou wast young, thou girdest thyself and walkest whither thou wouldest. But when thou shalt be old, the Lord is telling Peter, when you're old, thou shalt stretch forth thine hands, and another shall gird thee and carry thee whither thou wouldest not. This spake he, signifying by what death he should glorify God. And when he had spoken this, Jesus saith unto him, follow me. Two of the sweetest, most comforting words Peter could have ever heard. I go fishing, he says in the beginning. His influence led others to go with him, abandoning their kingdom work. And then now Jesus speaks into it and says to him, Peter, do you love me? Do you love me? Do you love me? Peter finally gets to the end of himself and his pride, and he says, Lord, you know all things. Lord, you know. You know I don't love you like I should. Jesus speaks into Peter, and he says, Peter, when you were young, you didn't have care in the world. When you're old, here's the death you're going to die. Jerome writes and says that Peter was crucified upside down when he died because he didn't feel worthy to die the same death that his Lord died. That's what history says. We don't know if it's accurate, but it could have been accurate because he lived during that time. Who wrote that? But nonetheless, we know that he's a God of a second chance. Emmanuel Baptist, I love you. I mean that. The invitation is this. If you're here today and do not know Jesus as your Savior, our prayer is the day that you'll repent and you'll call upon God to be your Savior. Believe that Jesus died, was buried, that he rose again the third day. You call upon him, he'll save you. He'll change your life. I also would add, if you're here today and you say, Pastor, I feel that I've blown it. I feel, preacher, that I've messed up, that I'll never, ever be used of God again. Listen, don't underestimate his grace. Because his grace is sufficient. His grace, he absolutely will bestow upon you and absolutely will reclaim. He'll reclaim what the enemy tried to take away. He loves you. His love for you is unconditional. And I said to my class, and I'll say this today, we know, and all of us would agree today, that his love for us is unconditional, isn't it? Amen? It's unconditional, his love for us. But is our love for him unconditional? I can't say that mine always is. But my prayer to God is that I understand that I don't ever want the Lord to question my love for him. And I don't ever want any of you, Emmanuel. I don't ever want any of you, I don't want my wife, I don't want my children, to ever question my love for Jesus because of something I say. Out of sheer emotion, out of a knee-jerk reaction, I shouldn't have done it. So the invitation today, we have an altar up here. If you'd like to come to the altar, just pray. Ask God for whatever's going on in your life and your heart to help you, whatever it is. Maybe there's situations that with other members that maybe you have aught against your brother, your sisters in Christ. I encourage you to go to them and get it right. Ask God to help you. Ask God to help you because he's helped me. And there's some roosters in your life, right? God's put some roosters in your life. He does it because he cares about you. He does it because he loves you. He does it because he wants you to follow him, not your emotion, not your knee jerk, not none of that. He wants you to follow him and do it his way. Stand with me, please, for hymn invitation. Brother Ryan's coming, going to lead us. We trust if the Lord has spoken to your heart today that you will respond. Those of you awaiting baptism, you can make your way back and to the baptismal room. Brother Steve Walczak, will you make certain that that stuff is unplugged for the baptism? And we'll get ready for that. So we encourage you to come. The Lord's spoken to your heart. You need to respond. We give you an opportunity to do that. What's the number, Brother Ryan?
382.
382. You come as we sing.